You're now listening to Convos with Marilyn.
I'm so happy to have this very inspiring, our presidential candidate for CUSA 2024.
Yes, ma'am.
It's good evening, and it's so lovely to have you.
Good evening. Lovely to be here.
Like, first of all, let's just say wow. And let's go. Because we've never seen a campaign at this scale. So we want to start off by asking you why. Why did you begin this to begin with?
Why did I run for president?
Yeah.
So honestly, I didn't know that I was going to run for president until literally like December. So I was thinking about it for a while, but I hadn't made up my mind. And I guess the deciding factor for me was, you know, my faith.
Yeah.
Over the break, I decided to take my relationship with God more seriously. And you know, the foundation of, you know, Christianity is that God is love, right? Jesus is the embodiment of love. So I was thinking to myself, how can I show love to more people? What is it that I can do that I can help people, essentially, right? And I was like, okay, well, currently I'm in a position as the vice president of finance to be able to help people, but I'm limited because my job is, you know, strictly like finance and stuff. So I was like, okay, what's the best way for me to, you know, help people? I said, okay, well, running for president, I'm gonna have a bigger platform. I'm gonna have to be able to advocate more for people, advocate more for students, and actually show my love through that platform. So I was like, all right.
Like, that's just like the fact that when you put God as the focal point, everything else starts to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I feel like, you know, when God appoints somebody to be king, and God, like, you know, there's something that he does on like a grand scale, because it's like, how do I touch more people? Like, that's how you see David and Solomon. Do not be forgotten, because God put them on a pedestal, and you have like a lot of responsibility now, you know. And so how do you like intend to like cope with all this responsibility now? Like, if at all, like, God should be so graceful.
You answered the question already. I was going to say it's grace.
Mm.
You know, sometimes, like, even today I was having a conversation with someone, and, you know, she asked me, like, how do I balance it, you know, school, the campaign, you know, work, because I have another job as well. And then I also serve at church as well. How do I balance it all? And I looked at her, I told her, like, it's God. It's literally just grace, because I can't explain it to you. I can't break it down like, oh, I do this. I have this on my calendar. I wake up, but no. I know, it's just grace.
Because even if you have to do this, it's still God that's going to give the ability to do those things.
Yeah.
So 100%, I like completely love that answer. And also, how, like, I want to completely like hone in on the campaign process.
Yeah.
You have a TikTok. I saw, and of course I'm voting for Sean. This is what, like, you know, Sean is, you know, of course Sean did this. Like, you went full on. How did that come about? And like, how did God show you this vision that you are about to, you know?
So for that, it wasn't actually myself. Like, I have a whole team. But the idea for most of the social media stuff was either from my, you know, my campaign manager or somebody on my team, you know, in regards to graphics or something like that. So honestly, I was just a, how do I say, like a video vixen. You know, I gave them the concept, the plan, the idea, and, you know, they ran with it. And I was so graced and so blessed to have such an amazing team, because honestly, like, people are like, oh, I love your videos, I love your this, I love you. I'm like,
I have nothing to do with like, you guys.
It's not me, guys. They just tell me, say this, say that, and I do that. So, you know, but a very talented team, very talented. Let me give a shout out to my campaign manager too. Her name is Valerie Marmalejo. Hopefully I got that.
No, like, because when I actually, because I've never reached out to people, like, for Combos with Berlin via, like, DM. But I'm like, I know Sean. Let me just, like, and then he was a campaign manager. I'm just like, this man doesn't, you, like, he's not, I was like, that was when the impression scale just went so high. Because do you know how dedicated you have to be to have a campaign manager running your Instagram? Like, and it's so amazing. Like, has there been any challenge that you faced, like, you know?
Like, with this, with the campaign?
Yeah.
Honestly, I would say a little bit, because I'm not a, I wouldn't say I'm a creative, but I definitely have a creative eye. Right, so sometimes I'm like, okay, I see a video, I'm like, I'm not really vibing with it, or you know, I have an idea to do something, and then my campaign manager's like, no, like, we're not gonna do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the end of the day, we're both working to, or the whole team is working towards one thing.
Yeah.
So it's like one vision. So everybody's kind of in sync on that. So even though, yeah, sometimes there's, you know, disagreements on when to post something, what to post, how to go about something, but inevitably, you know, it all worked out.
100%. And I just like, This is just like I'm so thankful that you've taken this opportunity to do something this grand scale. And like, how do you feel like being a black candidate in this? Like, you know.
Honestly, you know, I didn't even think of it like that. I didn't even, like, when I was initially running, like, it never came up like, oh, I'm doing this for the community or, but. I would say as I was running, a lot of people, you know, black, Nigerian especially, would come up to me and they would, you know, give me some form of praise for, you know, kind of doing this for our people.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, even though I didn't think about it, it is true. I do represent a group of marginalized people. So I think it's important to be able to see yourself, especially in positions of power.
Yeah.
So I hope that, you know, me running, you know, by the grace of God, if I win or I don't win, I hope that I've inspired somebody of color, somebody Nigerian, to be able to actually to be able to, you know, step up, because it takes I'll tell you, it takes a lot of courage. You know, those videos I put out there, like, that's not
that's not you,
that's not me. Like, you will never see me post something like that on a regular, like, I don't put myself out there that much. So it's definitely out of my comfort zone. So I hope it has inspired somebody to actually be like, okay, you know what, maybe it's not running for president, maybe it's something small, maybe it's, you know, just something to push yourself.
Stepping up in class.
Exactly. Like I hope me doing this, somebody looks at it and is like, okay, maybe I can do something too.
And like you said about pushing yourself, like, and going outside of your comfort zone, you know, like, and this is something, like, I think we even said in our own, like, podcast, you will never, like, you can never get far if you stay at the shore in anything that you're doing. Like, and I'm just like, going out of your comfort zone is everything, guys. Like, what do you accomplish from the comfort of your bed? Nothing. Like, you know. So, and putting yourself out there, how has that, like, you know, just changed the way you view social media and, like, your own, and how has that opened, like, some doors for you?
I think the one way it's changed my perception is that it's actually not that serious. Like, I've noticed, because there's some videos of me, I'm you know, when it's about to go up, I feel so embarrassed, and then people are coming to tell me, like, oh, I love this video, it's so funny, or it's, so it just shows you that sometimes you may be anxious, or you may be thinking a particular type of way about something, but people actually don't really care. They don't take it too seriously. Like, you just do what you love, do what you like to do, be yourself, and don't be be unapologetically yourself.
Yeah.
Especially on social media, because people remember the last thing they see. You know, if I make an embarrassing video now, 2 weeks time, what's 2 weeks? That evening, you're not gonna remember it. So I would say, just put yourself out there.
And like what you said, like, this is just so crazy, because I'm happy that at least now you're in the social media space and you can. It's not easy, you guys. Fear of being cringe is so, like, because you'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm sure somebody's looking at this, and they're just like, this girl again. But the thing is, when you're consistently doing something, when you consistently see someone, at a point you're like, that's who they are, and you're not going to change it just by your own, like, because you create a brand by your everyday, not by your one time.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like, your consistency is inspiring, because you woke up every day and you're like, okay, because it's so easy to call out and be like, you know, he was giving 100%. That's breadcrumbing. You know, you give 100%, give 90% later, but you give 100% throughout this campaign. And what he started, and I'm just going to, like, fix it, and, like, we're going to hone in on, like, the God aspect. What is something that you feel like God really transformed in you this campaign period?
That's a good question, because I think it's more than one, so I'll try to.
Please, it's a conversation. We're so happy to hear you.
I think initially the one thing that God showed me was to wait on Him. So when I was first deciding whether or not to run for president, you know, of course I was doing it because I wanted to help people, wanted to have a bigger platform to be able to do more.
Yeah.
But I, of course, my biggest prayer through the whole thing was, you know, God, let your will be done, right? If this is what you want me to do, show me. And I was asking God, like, show me a sign, like, let somebody call me right now and, you know, tell me that I should run for the position. But, you know, I didn't get a response. Like, I didn't get a yes, you should do this, or no, you shouldn't do this. And at first, I was kind of
bummed out.
Yeah, I was like, God, like, why are you doing this to me? Or why don't you want to answer me or give me a sign or tell me I should do this? And the one thing I learned was that even when God doesn't give you an answer, it doesn't mean he's not speaking. Right? There's a message to learn in everything. And what I learned was that in everything, have God. Right? Whether or not God has said, do this, don't do this. Because if God has said, you know, do this, then, I mean, of course, there's a different confidence when you walk knowing that you have
Spiritual confirmation.
Spiritual confirmation, exactly. But I think in this, what I learned, and I take from, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, when they were standing in front of the flaming pit, and they said, you know, paraphrasing, but they said, you know, I'm not going to serve your God, and my God will save us.
Yeah.
But even if he doesn't, I'm not going to worship
your
gods. So I think what was really shown to me was like, even if I don't win, what is my posture going to be? Where is my heart going to be? How am I going to still tell God that I'm you know, grateful? So, I mean, I think that was one of the biggest things that I learned, is really just waiting on God. That it's not, God doesn't always
speak. He's not like a genie.
He's not like a genie. Like, you don't just like shake the bottle and it's like, oh yeah, this is your answer. Sometimes God works in mysterious ways, right? But in everything, you must stay grounded to him, right? Where is my heart going to be at the end? Whether when they announce the results, what is my heart posture going to be like? I think another thing that I took away as well was in regards to pride. Because through this process, like, you know, so many people come to me, they're like, oh, Mr. President, and I'm like, and so I have to catch myself because, you know, I'm a human being, right? So people come in telling me that it's like, oh yeah, I'll catch myself, I'm like walking in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm the president, but it's like, no, whether or not I get this position or not, I'm like, I must submit myself at the feet of Jesus. Like, I'm nothing. I'm no one. Like,
yeah.
What? No matter the position, no matter the platform, no matter the name, the title, I have to remember that I am nothing and God is everything. So even when, like, literally every time somebody would be like, oh, Mr. President, I would get home that night and my prayer would be, God, please remove pride from my heart. There's a song that goes like, oh, flesh be gone, oh, it be gone. Yeah. So I would sing that song every single morning because it's like, because pride of the heart is dangerous.
Yes. It's dangerous. It can breed so many dangerous things. Yeah.
And so it always comes right before the fall.
Let me not give a very dangerous analogy right now, but like, it really does. It really does.
That was a big part for me, just learning how to keep my heart's posture, you know, bowed to Jesus. And yeah.
Yeah, that was such an amazing, like, and then one thing I also want to say, like, because I was thinking about it, like, because the same way people will come up to you and just be like, every single time, because you're so afraid of, like, you know, getting to the point where because you don't even know, pride is so, like, it's slow.
It's slow.
Because it's like, somebody's coming to you, like, even, like, let's say they'll be like, oh my gosh, like, yo, how are you doing Converse with me? I'm doing, like, 7 other things, and you're just like, this isn't, and that's why every single person that comes to me, I'm just like, I'm doing, because Abigail and I were reading Rick Warren's A Purpose Driven Life, and it's like, the reason I exist is to fulfill God's purpose. So my life is nothing in comparison. Like, this is not my, like, you guys, I'm just a placeholder for God, you know. So it's 100% I understand that. And also, is this like, when by God's special grace you get the position, is it going to change anything in your life? Like, are you going to now have to change some things around?
I don't think it'll change much, actually. I mean, currently I do already work at CUSA as a vice president of finance, so
yeah.
I do already have a lot on my plate. I guess, you know, and one thing my pastor would always say, he would say, new level, new devil. So I guess I can't, I don't know what the devil is till I reach the new level. So, but again, it's grace.
Yeah,
it's grace. You know, you have to constantly go to the throne room of grace to obtain mercy and find grace, right?
Yeah.
So,
through grace is the oil that, you know, that fills the lamps of faith, you know, like that is what we are using to, like, you know, look to the future.
It's a spiritual backing, which is why a lot of people, like, sometimes you see a lot of, like, great men of God and you don't understand how they can do what they do, but it's solely grace.
Yeah.
And you must remember that always. So I feel, you know, what I would change doing, I don't know.
Like you said, new level, new devil, but what if God is taking you forward, then you must be holding his hand.
Oh yes.
Like, so it's like you're going like, I think if you're asking God to take you somewhere, ask him for the grace, the strength, the mercy to stay in that, like, because sometimes God doesn't want to take us some places because I heard something so amazing. They were like, God is not going to give you a Ferrari if he knows that you're going to drive off far away from him. And it's just like, sometimes we have to show God that we're going to remain grounded no matter where he, whether you're rich, poor, sick, healthy, you have to, like, he has to know that, okay, like, no matter where you place her, like, look at Job. He was rich, he was poor, he was literally destitute and sick, and he was like, they were like, just curse God and die, bro. But he was like, no, you know what, like, this God that brought me here and this God that's going to take me out. Like, you just have to keep reminding yourself that, and like, by God's special grace, like, where he's taking you to is, you know. So, like, we want to, like, divert, let's say, like, delve away from this, like, who is Sean as a person?
Who am I? So I'll give you a little backstory on myself. Born and raised in Nigeria. I grew up in Lagos. I was there till I was 16. Came to Canada 2019, I believe. It's a very intricate question, but I'll flow like this. So I used to be somebody that was, in high school, I used to be, you know, that, like, everybody's, like, guy, you know, everybody, like, oh, not everybody, but, you know, I was well-liked by a lot of people, I was well-known, and I was, you know, I actually was the head boy. I don't know if many people here will know what that means, but...
No, of course!
I was head boy in my old school.
Basically, the head prefect, yeah.
Yeah, and then when I came to Canada, like, all of that went away. I became very anxious, depressed, battling with, you know, insomnia, with, you know, panic attacks, all these things, a lot of health complications, and it reached a point in my life where I was like, you know, it's either death or it's God. And that was like a crucial turning point for me when I decided, like, you know, I'm gonna take my walk with God, like, you know, deeper and more seriously. So if you're asking me who I am, I guess I'm just someone that that knows the value of Christ. Like, in every aspect of my life, I know the value of Christ. I know how real he is because I felt how real he is. I would say that I'm someone that knows the value of Christ.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like Sean is one of those people that, like, you know, they'll say, okay, how do we find him? Like, find Christ first. Like, and I feel like you just have to become that kind of person. And I'm happy, like, that by God's grace, our president will be somebody that is Christ-filled, you know, by God's special grace. Like, and the thing is, whatever you do with Jesus will never fail.
Yeah.
Like, what if you do it wholly with him, like, it will never fail. So I'm just really hoping and praying for that. And we also just, like, not wrapping up, but, like, let's just see. So we're on the topic of, like, who you are as a person. Is there something that you would say to the past you? Like, just...
I think I would tell myself not to be so hard on myself. I think I've made a lot of mistakes in my past. I think there's been a lot of things that I've, you know, said, like, oh, I wish this didn't happen, or I wish, you know, this had happened sooner. But I feel as though everything was, I don't want to say necessary, but I think I was able to remove the lesson from everything and truly grow from all my experiences. And, you know, so I think I would just tell myself, you know, just don't be so hard on yourself. Like, it's a process. Nobody's perfect. And, you know, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, like this is just the time capsule period, so we're just going to be seeing like it's tomorrow that the results are coming out.
Yeah.
So well, like we're going to look back at this, and like future Sean is going to be watching this. What do you want to say, like regardless of, you know, the results?
Regardless of the results, like one thing I want to tell myself.
Mm-hmm. And everyone who's watching, who's supported you thus far and so on.
One thing I would want to say is that God's will was done.
Mm.
You know, I've done all the work. I mean, you were just saying about the campaign, like, you know, me and the team, we put in a lot of work. You know, I've done all the physical that needed to be done, and I've prayed. So I know that now whatever happens is 100% in God's hands.
Mm.
So, you know, tomorrow at 5 p.m., if they say, you know, and our next president is Sean, there's a peace in knowing that this is where God wants me.
Mm.
But if at 5 p.m. they say somebody else's name, there's still a peace that is where God wants me.
Yeah.
So I would just, you know, tell myself that, you know, it's okay. Yeah. God's will was done.
And it was. Yeah. And also, I wanted to ask a question just briefly. God, please give me the grace to remember what I wanted to say. Okay. And what's the first thing? Yes, thank you. The first thing that you're going to do, by God's grace, if you know, like the first reform or something that you really want to change, given the position and the will to do so, or the list of things, if you will.
The list of things I want to change.
Yeah.
Mm.
Your first 100 days.
First 100 days. Okay, so one thing I'll say, this is one thing that I really want to see a change.
Yeah.
I want to see more, like, how do I say this? So on campus right now, we have a bunch of, you know, prayer spaces, and they're called multi-faith, you know, centers. But, you know, the reality is they're really all suited for, you know, Islam.
Yeah.
Right? And now we're seeing a lot of Christian groups growing, rising on campus, right? Lighthouse, Campus Church. I know there was one Catholic church that they even came to me to complain about spacing and stuff.
Mm.
So I want to see more representation for our people, right? I don't think we should be looking for a place to pray or a place to, you know, do service or a place to commune together. So that's one thing that I really want to change. I really want to see a difference in. But there's a bunch of other things too. I want to create an off-campus advising center for students that are struggling with housing, for students that are, you know, trying to balance school and their financial insecurities like food, housing. So essentially what it would be is to create jobs for students that want to go either into the field of housing and marketing, but those students will also be able to get first-hand experience by helping students that are struggling with those things.
That's
as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I could run you through my whole campaign right now, but...
Just like the... Yes, like the... Okay.
Okay, so another thing I want to do is advocacy on sexual violence prevention, as well as international student conflict. Because I'm not sure if you're aware, but there's been a lot of, you know, with fraternities and sororities, there's been a lot of instances of, you know, sexual violence, you know, a lot of instances of rape as well. You know, even last year, a lot of students would come into the office, they'd be crying or having breakdowns because of this. So one thing I really want to do is, you know, the Chonk Nation?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the volunteer team, essentially I want to create...
sort of an awareness.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I want to create awareness, but I want to do that through the volunteer team. So essentially what there would be is there would be a team just like the Chonk Nation, and what they would do is they would go and into different club events, because I think us just doing our own separate workshops, people don't come to it. So we really have to meet the students
and
where
intercede.
They're at.
Yeah.
So I want to have that group go into the club events, and they'll have booths where they do workshops, info sessions, teachings in regards to sexual violence, as well as international student conflicts. But for international student conflicts specifically, I want to have every staff in CUSA trained to deal directly with mental health issues pertaining to international students.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the time when students come in and they're struggling, all we can do is send them to places to be able to get help, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
But we want to be able to come meet you where you
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, and I tell everybody this. I want literally the person that prints to be able to help you if you're having a breakdown. The person that cleans the floor. Like, literally everybody, I want them to be able to help anybody that comes in at any time with a problem. Another thing I want to do is reform the club's policy, because right now clubs with the same mandates are not allowed to exist at the same time. So for example, if you are you in a club?
Club right now, I don't think so.
For example, let's say you're in a bowling club, right?
Okay.
Another bowling club can't exist at the same time as you, because you're both bowling clubs, right? But what I want to make it so is that we can have multiple bowling clubs.
Or like different teams.
Exactly, yeah. something like that. So what I want to do is I want there to be multiple clubs of the same with the same mandate to be able to exist for just like freedom of expression, right? Because right now, even if you have 70% like similar mandate, you're not allowed to exist. So we just want I just want people to be able to, you know, make their own clubs with their friends and, you know, essentially do what they want to do. Yeah, and then I also want to reform CUSA's investment policies, but I don't want to bore anybody with financial stuff.
I'm sure like you wouldn't have, but this is amazing. If you didn't vote for, I really just hope that, but by God's special grace, like God, there's something that they say on the Glorify app, like, may the unhurried rhythm of heaven recalibrate your heartbeat.
Wow.
And I just like I think that's because we're always rushing and we're always like with our own agenda, but because heaven's mandate is yours, by God's grace, whatever the result is, your like God's will be done. And I'm just like I cannot wait. I really I'm going to pray this night. Go Sean, like, and go God's mandate, because by God's grace he's going to shine through and within you.
Amen.
You know, like, and the thing is, like, another thing I would just say, like, because I know Sean has places to be. So one thing is, it's not about like getting to a position. It's about like flowing there. Do you understand? Like, and if God places you somewhere, then definitely, like, those, like, live, it's your living stream. So through you, things are going to happen, you know. So by God's grace, like, when we hear the results, because of this reason, it will be successful. And I just can't wait to like hear the good news, you know, by God's special grace. And yeah, so thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming to Converse in Reign and gracing us with this presidential and you know, Jesus filled spirit. And I can't wait to, you know, like, you know, put this out there for everybody to see.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You just listened to Converse with Marilyn. Thank you so much for giving me your time and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed it, please follow the show and give us your honest ratings. Stay tuned and definitely keep listening for more. Bye for now.